Good evening. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 20th September, 2022. My name's Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and also you can download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. Well, it was a four-point weekend. They opened the domestic account, which means the Giants start the quest to retain the Challenge Cup very strongly. This week's show, well, in just a minute, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Odyssey Trust, our friend Robert Fitzpatrick, to talk about the season to come and, of course, reflect on that banner raising that took place on Saturday evening. We'll look at those two games against the Five Flyers, and the fan agenda returns this week. We've got Chad Butcher, so get those questions in. And with Dundee this weekend, we're delighted to welcome a fella called Jeff Mason.
Just look heard of him.
Don't know. I'm sure he's a nice guy. We'll see him later on in the show. If you're watching us live on Facebook or on YouTube, send us your comments, your thoughts, your questions. We can share them on screen and maybe get involved in the discussion. And if you have any questions for Chad Butcher, send them in and we'll ask him when it gets to the fan agenda. Mr. McGimsey, how are you doing?
I'm just laughing there, Paddy, because I'm sure that's exactly how Chad Butcher wants his name pronounced, or his mum wants his name pronounced.
Chad Butcher.
Butcher.
Chad Butcher. But anyway, Joe, you told me the kids are like watching these TikToks and stuff, and there's like ones that you hear, what's it like, ASMR, you something called it? What did you call it?
Oh, we're back on this. It's week three of the season.
But what is it? What do you call it?
The kids seem to like a thing called ASMR, Davey.
And right, well, I've got some ASMR for you. What do you hear?
Oh, that was nice, actually.
I'd like to thank the listener who saw me struggle for 2 minutes with an Allen key opening my beer last week. And this arrived in the post. So to the AVFTB watcher who renamed, completely anonymous, nothing, just a white envelope with a bottle opener inside it. Thanks very much.
And that was the envelope just addressed to Davey McGimsey, A View from the Bridge, Bristol?
It wasn't even that. It was the brig, Long Ashton, Bristol, and it got here. So thanks very much.
Happy days.
Appreciate that. So, all good. Love the swag, as you know.
How you doing? Big day.
Big day, mate. Yeah, big day. It's always a big day whenever it's podcast night and I get to sit on here with you boys.
How you doing?
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're doing good. Yeah, you might have saw on my socials a wee bit of news today. Everybody's doing all right. We've made it to first scan and everything's looking good. So it's a little bit of a sigh of relief, and I'm grateful to be able to come on to something like this and to have this platform to say thank you very much to everybody. Just there's been a lot of very, very kind messages have been kind of flying in, and I'm really, really, truly, deeply grateful for them. And I know Danny is too, so thank you very much. Plenty of slagons as well.
It's come as a complete shock, having bought a house with many bedrooms in it that Danielle's pregnant. Total shock.
I would love to say that it was planned to perfection, but listen, I don't do things that way. So
none of us do, mate. And when you get to where I am now, I'm sure kids was Joanna's idea. I don't think it was my idea. Absolutely not. But no, congratulations, mate, and congratulations, Danielle. Fantastic news.
Thank you very much.
Right, let's crack on with the show. We're going to talk about the games against the Five Flyers in just a second, but we're delighted to be joined at this point in the show by the CEO of the Odyssey Trust. That is, of course, Mr. Robert Fitzpatrick. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing very well, Paddy. Davey, Joel, good evening. Hope you're all keeping well.
Doing very well. We're starting off this show just obviously bringing you on. We'll talk about in regards to the Giants and the season to come, but obviously on Saturday night was a big thing for the club, and that was the raising of the banner to mark the sad passing of Jim Gillespie.
That's correct. I mean, I sometimes reflect on the first time I met Jim and being completely blown away by how understated he was. And how it never was that big a deal that he had done what he'd done. And I remember then as we went through the process of acquiring the club and sitting and working with him, I got a very great sense of his unwavering belief in his dream or passion or vision for what he had for the club. And I'd sort of at that stage made him a number of, I suppose, mano-mano promises. that we would always honour his legacy, that we would always honour his vision for Giants to be Giants of men. And I suppose, you know, in his passing, he was the president of our club. I know that nostalgia plays a huge part in how people view the club. And I think Davey put it very well last week when he said, in 10 or 12 or 15 years' time, people might be talking about what we're doing now. But I think that there was no better way for Jim to be recognised. And I suppose for that era to be recognised than by finally working out how to hang a banner without literally dropping it from the ceiling, number one.
Yeah.
More importantly, it was a fitting tribute to him. I mean, I don't think that anybody can forget that the part that you guys played in getting him acknowledged by the Hall of Fame. And the fact that we've now got that, we've now managed to, you know, put that in what I consider to be a proper representation as a bit of a legacy shrine for Jim. The banner I always wanted to do, and I'm very indebted to James Glover, who come up with the design and the concept and used the word architect, because no better word would come to mind in relation to how Jim would have shaped the thinking that maintains in the club to this day. So the fact then that we had Mitzi there and the rest of the Gillespie family just put an added legitimacy on what has been a very, very moving, I suppose, given the week we're in or the week we were in, where emotions right across the fan base was quite raw. I suppose our own wee way of trying to capture what one of our people meant to us was in keeping with what many other people up and down the country thought their loss was. So to that end, I think it was a very fitting tribute for Jim, and, you know, he'll always be a part of us.
It was a real goosebump kind of event. And I guess from talking to Smalls, he had said there the other week, did Jim appreciate how much he was valued by everyone? And I told him all the time, and I think he understood. He wasn't well in his later years, as you well know. And he maybe didn't understand to the extent that the value that he was held in all our hearts and how important he is to us on an ongoing basis.
If it's any consolation to you, David, the last time that I spoke to him was the last time he was home in the box with Mitzi. And I made a point of going round to the box to talk to him. Now, at that stage, you're right, he wasn't well. He hadn't got the full command of his vocabulary. But the light was on in his eyes. You could see the light in his eyes. And when I told him that it was still his Giants, that the philosophy that he had left with us was still the same, when I told him that from a business perspective, all of his goals and aspirations in terms of the business had been reached and in some ways passed. I say this with all of humility that I can probably muster, but I think he maybe died a happy man. I think he maybe at that moment realized that, you know, all of his effort and all of his pain and all of his passion and generosity wasn't in vain. So I hope so.
I think one lesson to take out of this in life, and I think it's an amazing tribute to Jim. I told you at the weekend, you don't need the pats in the back, but this is one thing that the club did really well. I think this event, this whole banner raising, was done sensitively and really, really well. And it's really appreciated by, especially the ones from way back that were here for the whole Jim Gillespie era. But Jim didn't get to see the banner raised himself. Obviously, sadly, has passed away, and gives us an opportunity in life to remember. If you've got someone within your life that has done something, to let them know when they're here. Let them know how important and how valued they are. It doesn't matter whether it's in your hockey sphere, in your own family, somebody that you work with, somebody that you've played sport with, whatever. But if you get the opportunity, let them know. There's no harm in giving somebody a pat on the back.
Debbie, I wouldn't expect anything else coming from you at the minute in terms of empathy and stuff like that, given all the work you've done over the last couple of years with Rainer and blood drives and all that sort of thing. But you're right. It is an opportunity for us all to reflect that we are human. If you think of the mountain that Jim climbed, the time that he spent, agonizing over whether he was going to go for another year and going to go for another year, the nostalgia that's wrapped around that era, the fact that we brought a part of that era back into the modern club with the returning of George from a very successful playing career as a trophy-winning captain to now become an assistant coach, in some ways, to my mind, represents, you know, once a giant, always a giant. And I said to you many, many times, I mean, I gave a commitment to Jim that we would never delineate from the vision that he set, and we never will. That's the reality.
Robert, and excuse me, boys, I'm having ridiculous hardware problems here. Things are like turning on and off and stuff. That's so I'll perfect. Figure that out whenever I get a chance. but if you can hear me, Robert, it's something that is very, very important to me and that has been highlighted in recent weeks is the fact that we have Laura Small continuing on, you know, that Jim's legacy with the SSE, or sorry, with the Odyssey Trust and in the arena and with the Giants. How important is that to you that Laura is in there keeping on what is an incredible legacy and ultimately her family, kind of her family's legacy, her family name?
Not remotely important at all. She's an employee and she does a very good job. I mean, I think if you're fishing for compliments from me for Laura, you're going to have to fish a long time, Joel. Laura chose to come to work for the organization when an opportunity arose. I don't think if Laura wasn't working for the opportunity, she'd still be around the club because she passionately believes in the vision that our uncle set. So to that end, but Laura's much more. Laura has this by birthright. She has this association with what is now a club legend. And by her words and deeds over the last 10, 12, 15 years, if you like, she's crystallized to position herself within the club. She's also a very valued employee. And as a very valued employee, she delivers over and beyond what a normal firm might expect from a normal employee. We're not a normal firm and we expect great things from employees. So to that end, every commitment that Laura makes to us and every addition that she brings to the table, you got to remember she's in charge of CSR. It's passionate. It's something that I'm passionate about. It's something that the organization can do in a much, much more controlled and cohesive way now because there's a bit of control and organization behind it. But no better woman from the job than Laura Small. She's first class. And not only that, she's an outstanding human being.
It was a fantastic moment for the club and a way to mark Jim's passing and something that's going to last there. It'd be amiss not to ask you before you went about what this season holds with regards to the organisation. Obviously, it's the return of the Friendship Four in November. That's a massive thing to be coming back. But coming off last year with you know, a year back after COVID and the successes that we had, you know, where do we push on to? Obviously, we've had the CHL.
I mean, there's been, you'd have noted, Paddy, back end of last year, there was a huge investment made off ice with all of the good stuff on the for the fans that way. We're in the process of finishing the offside part, which is essentially an honours wall for the Giants. You'll see it the next time you're home. But I suppose the really big thing, and I can't really take any credit for this at the time. It's actually been prompted by Neil Whiteside for the last, every time he gets a chance, he jags me about it. And that's the lighting in the arena. So we bit the bullet. And I think it's the game before Halloween. We will have the capacity to go full on with a brand new lighting system and show deck system that's akin, that's on a par with what you would have seen with some of the European clubs in the CHL. We'll have one of those as well. That's notwithstanding the fact that we're going into probably one of the biggest power crises that the country's ever faced. Yeah. But it is what it is, and you just have to get around it. On the hockey side, the inspection trip was 3 weeks ago, where all of the colleges come over and as normal. I think Steve Hagwell was telling me it was his 14th visit to Belfast.
He loves a trip to Belfast, doesn't he? Never gives up on a trip to Belfast, Steve Hagwell.
Yeah. So Steve's taking the family. Steve Metcalf, I think, is taking the family as well. I know that Sarah Fraser from Quinnipiac is taking the family. So we are starting to get under their skin. I'm heading back over to Boston again at the end of October, start of November, to just put the final touches to this year's tournament. And as you rightly say, it's something that we've started. It's something that I want to continue. And more importantly, it's something that I want to grow. And I think if our plans come together, we had thought about doing men every 2 years, but I'm increasingly thinking that there's a place for a women's tournament, and we're going to try and explore the possibility of a women's tournament in 23. And then we bring the men's tournament back again in 24. So it's in fairly rude health. Thanks to our sponsors and our patrons, they've committed to the same period of time. So that should go very well. On the ice for the Giants this year, it's very simple, Paddy. We've set a bar. You know, a double-double means that you can only actually beat it with a treble. And you know, I know that we joke about this as fans sometimes, and I said I'm sort of, when I'm chatting to you boys, I think more as a fan than I really do as a CEO. But the reality of it is, the more successful we've got, the more people watch us. Yep. The more successful we are on the ice, the more successful we are off the ice. And whilst there's a sort of a splitting now, where you're seeing the Nottinghams and the Sheffields and the Cardiffs and the Belfasts starting to try to monopolise as they did last year. I'm not so sure this year that it mightn't come back, because I think there's been a bit of clever recruiting done in the league this year. And I think it might come back a little bit. I still think it's going to be the usual suspects, championing for all of the trophies. But if you were pushing me on this year's roster, I think we've done very well in replacing what we've lost. Time will tell, but I think the spread of scoring over the weekend has been positive. More importantly, I went to Davos to watch the team in Davos. And for, I would say, 47, 48 minutes, they skated with one of the best teams in Europe. So yeah, to my mind, that augurs well. And if we can stay injury free, and we have the ability now, where I don't actually relish Kiefer's choices, because he's going to have to sit people every week, mm-hmm. and that's going to put a bit of an edge on training, I would imagine. But I think it augurs well for the season. We'll know, you know, a couple of weeks time when we play Cardiff away and we try and get out of that barn with a win, then we'll probably know what sort of shape we're in better then.
Right, Robert, to wrap this little section up, you're only allowed to go with quick answers here. You're not allowed to give Robert Fitzpatrick answers to these.
Okay.
These are questions that have come in from people that are watching. One, when are we getting electric vehicle chargers in the car park?
Early part of next year.
What team are you most excited to see the Giants play?
Sheffield.
Any plans for filling the two blank screens with actual screens in the arena?
If they're cheap enough, but...
Would you consider a season ticket for parking to save people time queuing?
Absolutely.
That's all the questions for now. Thank you for the quick answers. hopefully everyone that sent the question in there will be satisfied with those.
We're getting lots of views as a response to that.
Somebody wants to plug that. He's with the Alliance. I knew he'd have an electric car. Absolutely.
Robert, listen, we really appreciate
Paddy,
your time.
I have to say to you, Paddy, don't say it too loudly, but there already is an electric charging point in the car park.
There's a race for it in the morning then? Or no, race it's for mine. Evening?
It's May.
Oh, dear. Robert, listen, really appreciate you coming on, spending time. A great
Boys,
moment on Saturday as it was.
Thanks very much. Keep a good work. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Big thanks to Robert Fitzpatrick for his time. Really great to have him on. And really great, like I said, Davey, it was a fabulous moment on Saturday.
Oh, it was lovely. It really was. Very, as Robert said as well, just with what was going on in personal life at the time and kind of a period of reflection, and then that came along at the same time. and to see Mitzi Downer, Laura obviously on the bench, and the banner being raised. And as Robert sort of noted at the start, I like to see a banner being raised. I don't like to see a banner being dropped. You know, you raise them because you won them. You raise a trophy, you raise a banner for it. And no more fitting person that, and to have the word Nick Glover put on it as architect, it just sits up there perfectly. I hope Jim can see it from wherever he is, because it's a great tribute to a great man.
I fully agree with that. Welcome back, Joel.
Hello, sorry, don't know what's going on. Everything's just breaking tonight. One of those nights.
That's that new house for you.
I'll not be back.
In under 10 minutes' time, we're being joined by Chad Butcher. And so let's have a quick look at the two games that took place this weekend at the SSE Arena. Well, one of the SSE Arena and one, of course, over in Kirkcaldy against the Fife Flyers. We start, of course, on Saturday night at the arena. And it was a 2-1 win in overtime for your Belfast Giants. Goals coming from Chad Butcher and Rhys Cochran scoring the first goal, the opening goal in the first period before Chad Butcher got one in on the power play in the dying depths of the game to level it up at 1-1. In the overtime we went, and Scott Conway gets the winner. Regards to goalkeepers, Jackson Whistle, 16 shots against, one goal against. This one's incredible. Shane Owen, 58 shots against, two goals against. And your refs were Chris Wells and Steve Brown. Davey, for large parts of that game, it was the Shane Owen show.
Yeah, and like many goaltenders within this league, if you let them get hot, they're hard to beat. And thought the Giants, perhaps guilty in the first period, perhaps of just not bearing down enough and maybe just going down the gut a little easy and throwing shots into Shane Owen and almost warming him up, if you like. He obviously came, like any goalie that probably played for the club previously, always got a little point to prove when he's here, but I just felt like you put 100 shots on a goalie, or on and off, with 100 shots more or less on the night, and you really got to be winning more comprehensively than squeaking a 2-1 overtime win. And to be fair, we went to the 60th minute to get that equalising goal. I suppose that's what you can take from this. We perhaps in the first 20 minutes, I think guilty, the biggest guilt, and I know Simon mentioned it a few times in commentary, I think our biggest guilt on, it was Friday or Saturday, whatever night it was just slightly overplaying the puck, getting into good positions and maybe making that one or two more passes than we needed to make. You know, we created plenty of opportunities, but we were a little guilty. And we've talked about this, how many weeks in a row now, about crossing that Royal Road, and I'll not apologize for using the term again. Not getting Shane Owen moving left or right, east to west, whatever way you want to put it, just coming down and hitting them in the badge, hitting them in the guts, hitting them in the pads. You know, the goal eventually comes from a cleverly worked move and the power play work goes to the back stick. He has to move left or right. It's hard to move left or right, especially in the 59th minute of a game when you face the guts of 100 shots, maybe 50 on, 50 off. So we got that equalising goal. And then I think there was a little bit of a naughty play behind the net. And Jackson Whistle gets to go to the bench and we get the extra man there. And, you know, Collins was standing with a stick up in the air waiting for it, and an absolute clapper, as Joe would say, to take the extra point in overtime to get our Challenge Cup retention underway.
Joel, you know, it's one of those things. I watched the games the Fife played last weekend, and I actually came away, I thought I would put it on Twitter at the time, actually, but I didn't, but that Fife weren't going to be an easy prospect, and so it proved.
Yeah, and it's been sort of mentioned and mooted online by their own fans in the aftermath of this weekend that, you know, they're still short three or four bodies and are looking to kind of to bolster what they have already. I don't think that they will be the whipping boys that they possibly were in previous years. You know, I think they're gonna get in the faces of teams, and they're gonna pull the odd result. But with that said, though, I still expect them to be lower table by the end of the season. But it's not like we're playing the Edinburgh Capitals before they sort of lay over and died. You know, it's the thing. Go ahead, David.
I kind of expect the Fife Flyers to be 10th in this league this season.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they came with a very. You can't play 54 league games trying not to get beaten, win 1-0. You have to be expansive at some stage. They came, they collapsed in around Owen, they played almost like they were on the penalty kill the whole night. Blocked the house out, like, to be fair to them, you know, they planted four guys in front and sent one guy to, you know, to go and chase the puck down. But you can't do that for 54 games. You need to have something within your locker that's going to go and score goals for you.
Yeah, Rob, my point. What I was going to say was pretty much that. You notice that even kind of from the half-hour mark on, you know, and fair play to the kid, Reece Cochran, with a decent goal to put them up against the run of play. But for the rest of that game, with a one-goal lead, they did. I mean, the forecheck was non-existent. They sat at the blue line. They were not coming up the ice at the Giants, and they were just inviting those waves and waves of attack. And for to their credit, for the majority of it, they did keep us to the perimeter. And I think my issue with this game was that we were perimeter shots. You know, we weren't finding great A's. We were, I think, made five, six really, really good saves. I think we were making them look extremely good for the kind of pucks that we were kind of dishing into him. But you can't rely on a good goalie and Shane Owen to do all your work, as Davey says. You know, you can't nick that one goal lead and then just sit back on the road. For the vast majority, they played one of those frustrating road games where they were just not crossing that blue line. But ultimately, it's to the Giants' credit, maybe, that they managed to grind on and they actually find that goal as time was running out.
I thought about, obviously we've talked about, you know, changing it up a little bit here, Davey, with the highlights and stuff in the background. The highlights are 11 minutes long from the Giants, so we're sort of the YouTube highlights are 11 minutes long for those watching us on YouTube and Twitter, so maybe we won't get to the end of this. One person I do want to talk about, and maybe this will come into the next game as well, is Reece Cochran. 21 years old, Kirkcaldy lad, gets a goal against the Giants on Saturday night and an assist, Davey, against the at home on the Sunday. And it was one of the things that was talked about by, like, so Simon on commentary and Simon and Graham Walton, is about how Kirkcaldy has become a real breeding ground and has been for a long time for talent. And Reece Cochran looks like just that.
Well, it has been for donkey's years, you know, the coming through the Kessler, that, you know, Fife Ice Arena, Kirkcaldy rink. Although it's something special to go to, probably for some of the guys coming from North America, it's like stepping back in time. But, you know, they just have a conveyor belt of young Scottish talent to come through. And the Fife's credit, and I guess this is a bit like Max Stewart, Cale Beattie, etc. These guys now are getting a chance at the top level of the game. Maybe in Belfast, more so to be training on a daily basis with, you know, top-end Premier League players here. But, you know, in Fife, they're getting to play significant ice time. And to their credit, you know, they're coming up with points and goals there. So, you know, Todd Doodium, great teacher, great coach. He's been there for many years. He'll probably be there until he decides to leave Fife. But that system that they have going there of bringing young talent through into the British game and then hopefully on into the British national team as well is what I suppose they're trying to develop for as much as for their own team. So, you know, credit to Fife for getting these young lads into the lineup.
Paddy, just quickly, one thing that was encouraging, Chris Lawrence, being Chris Lawrence, took a really silly holding penalty and tried his best to goad Colby McCauley into a fighting major down in our zone. It was very, very nice to see Colby just kind of look at that and walk away from it and realize the situation that the team was in and that we don't need him disappearing for 5 minutes. And we know when we go back a couple of weeks and talk about the European games and the debate we had over penalties and some of them being aggression-based and maybe more avoidable, that to me is just a wee lesson learned that we played smart, and that's a big part for me as to how we find a way back into this game.
The highlights from this game are available, as you can see, from Belfast Giants TV on YouTube. Let's quickly look at Sunday's game before we are joined by Chad Butcher. The game obviously was a bit of a different one going over to Kirkcaldy. The Belfast Giants taking a 5-2 victory. A cagey opener, but it was Zach Phillips and Sean Cameron with the two goals for the Fife Flyers, with Butcher, Cullen, Gilbert, Conway with two, round out the 5-2 victory. In goal, Peyton Jones, 20 shots against, two goals against. Shane Owen, 37 shots against, five goals against. Steve Brown, two games in a row. And Pavel Hallis were your referees. Jolie, I said a cagey first period, but, you know, a comprehensive second that more or less took the game away from Fife.
Yeah, we did what Adam Keefe had called for in post-game the night before. That was to give a full 60 minutes and to not take that kind of period off. You could tell following the first game that we hit the ground running. There was a lot of early momentum, really high press, really, really desperately searching for that opener in a way that I don't think I felt at the SSC Arena the night before. Really nice opener. David Goodwin feeding Butcher to break the deadlock. He did it on Friday, or sorry, Saturday, and he did it on Sunday. And it was nice to see us get back into the rhythm of of succeeding on special teams, not only on the power play, but also on the penalty kill. It was lovely to see Collins springing up with that shorty. And that looked a lot more like the Belfast Giants I recognised. That was a clear response for me from the issues that they had the night before.
Davey, you know, how do you think there needed to be a response after, you know, the difficulties we had with Shane Owen, and we got that response?
Yeah, I think the first goal, that's either three or four times now, identical play, a sort of aggressive forecheck with a little poke chap along a half wall and breakaway. Goody, it was exactly the same goal as Goody feeds longer away. I think it was in Davos, opening the volley up for their righty to have the shot, the one-timer. So, you know, that was great. And then they've gone into 2-1, and it's the bounce back from that. We've gone 2-1 down, and we've scored, we've equalised before they've even read the... you know, the goal scores out, so that's a nice bounce back and a 2-2, and then we just kind of put the foot down then and went on. The one where I think it's Rayner plays a long outlet pass, it's picked off, and Collins comes up with a little stick lift and goes in. Steve Orry's on his left hand, sort of taking a bit of attention away, and he smashes it home. So a really nice performance. I think in terms of like grade A's, probably I chanced them 3-3+1. I think with 22, 23, 24 grade A's or something to their 7. So, you know, in terms of, it was a comprehensive enough victory. If you go back over the stat sheet here, you know, it was, you know, the five Flyers were in it at 2-1, but it wasn't a game that I ever felt we were in really any danger of losing. We made a couple of defensive mistakes. Like the first one is a little bit of a mishandle. Steve Orry puts it back to Longer, and he just slightly mishandles a puck and we get ourselves in a bit of a situation. And the second one, we'll lose our sort of net front coverage. Three guys go down into one corner, two guys leave the left-hand side of the ice, and it's just an iron stick throws it back up the middle of the ice, and the guy steps in from the blue line and smashes it home. So, you know, they had precious little in terms of major opportunities. We weren't really, Peyton Jones didn't have that much to do in that. So pretty comprehensive win for the guys. It was a pretty pleasing game to watch.
That game, we're just going to move on. That game is, the highlights aren't available yet. I don't think, I had a look earlier on for Five Flyers TV, but they do fire them up on YouTube if you want to catch the highlights of that 5-2 victory. Just briefly, Joel, your 4 points to open the account in the Challenge Cup is exactly what the Giants want if they're going to retain that trophy.
Yeah, my concern this early in the season is not making it out of the Challenge Cup groups, and you can call me pig-headed if you like, but look, it's a fact. You know, we're the Belfast Giants. We expect to get out of the Challenge Cup group stage. The format of that tournament does not make it overly difficult to do so. So it was more for me about complete performances, momentum, and coming out and hit the ground running, not showing any sign of a European hangover. I think we gutted one out on Saturday at the arena, we put it right on Sunday on the road in a difficult building. So look, happy enough. I think there's also a certain element of the team you're playing can sometimes fluctuate the sort of game that you play as well. You know, if that had been a Saturday night, you know, main event against the Sheffield Steelers 1v2, the Giants would be well up for it. So sometimes it's hard to go again. If you've been in Europe, you're suddenly playing a Challenge Cup group game against the Five Flyers on a Saturday, Sunday. It could be hard to get up for that and get the adrenaline pumping. And I think we were professional throughout the weekend, even in with things going a little bit against us on Saturday.
And Davey,
go ahead, Paddy. What's the question?
No, my final point was going to be, obviously there's a battle for places in the Giants with regards to the import numbers. Tyler Soy missing out in both games. Jeff Baum missing out on one. Peyton Jones being seated as well. That battle is going to remain for guys to get points because the guys are playing well.
There'll be little reasons for Kiefer making his selections at this stage for healthy or unhealthy scratches. So wouldn't read too much into people being, you know, having a night off at this stage. I think it's a great thing that to be able to have that little bit of competition that we haven't been able to have in previous years, because guys are having to play ill, guys are having to play hurt, guys are having to play when they're not particularly in great form. So it gives the coach, gives the players a little bit of competition within the roster. Nobody wants to be the guy that's sitting watching. So it gives them that opportunity. Just two things from Saturday and Sunday night. I know Simon Kitchen's the Ben Lake, you know, fan club, but the physicality that Brent Lake brought over the two nights in terms of hitting and blocking shots, the turnover, as you seen the video there, where I'm not sure the second or third goal where he forces a big forecheck, forces a turnover behind the net, comes around, whiffs on one, and I think it's maybe Gilbert coming in off the, just from the blue line, smashes home, and then some of Goody's playmaking, you know, you have to, as Joel would say, tip your cap sometimes. Some of his playmaking in and around the net is outstanding, even this early into the season. So things look good. It's, you know, we're in a
It's a good
we're in the group. It's a solid start. We're 4 points from 4 points. So let's just, you know, kick on from there.
Absolutely. Like I say, keep an eye on YouTube. We'll find those highlights in regards to the Five Flyers and a 4 point weekend for your Belfast Giants. Right, let's move on. It's the Fan Agenda brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we're delighted to be joined for the first time, I think, on the View from the Bridge by the number 17 for your Belfast Giants. Two goals of the weekend. Chad Butcher, how are you doing?
Good, guys. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, going really well. Your reflection, first of all, on the weekend and the two games against Fife?
I thought it wasn't bad. Obviously, coming out of the weekend with 4 points is something we're going to be happy with. I think in the first game, good teams find a way to win. Maybe not our best performance overall, but I think we kind of bounced back on Saturday there a little bit and had a better all-round effort.
Does the idea of this cup competition sit well with you? Have you got your head around it and how? Because obviously it'd be a bit different in approach.
Yeah, I didn't actually understand how it worked until I got here, obviously. But I think it's kind of cool. How many games is it? 12 games, about that. Every win counts, so it makes it almost more like a playoff atmosphere in every game.
Chad, with a few questions in here from people that are watching online here, how's having your former ECHL teammates McCauley and Ori helped you so far with your Giants, and how does the experience of Elite League so far differ to your time in the Coast?
Yeah, it's been good. Having a few guys around here that I'm familiar with and have played with definitely helps. Coming overseas, having some buddies makes the transition easier. And then as for the style of play, it's a little bit different. I would say the level of hockey is fairly similar. It's just a different game on the bigger ice, right? So I think that's something that suits and helps my game. So it's been good.
So you're sitting in North America there in the probably early part of the year, and an opportunity comes in Northern Ireland. What was it? What was the process there for the offer coming along, and how hard a decision was it to come across the pond?
Yeah, so I had been looking at options in Europe and was kind of something I wanted to do. And when I talked to Belfast, there was the fact that they're playing in the Champions League, and that was definitely a big part of the decision. And just the fact that they're always, they have a very high championship standard, right? So last year they won two of the cups, and this year they're really making a push to win all three. So that's something that excited me.
Chad, you, one of my things I noticed kind of early in the season, you spoke to the Belfast Telegraph just about the fans and the atmosphere and just the whole kind of culture around the Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. Said some really lovely things just about the, you know, even for a preseason game, I think it was after that Devils game, that you just really noticed the fans were really hot and were really there behind you. You know, you've obviously played in the Coast, you've been in the AHL, you've been in Sweden, you spent a great deal of your career so far in playing junior in the WHL, which from what I've seen, you know, teams or fans out there really get behind their teams. So just what is it? Have you really noticed a sort of difference in fan culture and just the how vocal and how passionate the fans here are?
Yeah, they're awesome. It's definitely probably the best fan base that I've been able to play in front of. Like I said, for some of these games early on in the year, the crowds have been great. And I'm definitely looking forward to when we play some of our rival teams like Cardiff, and when it gets really packed in there, that's really exciting.
And one of the viewers mentioned it there, but you've obviously played with Steve Ory, with Collins, with Colby McCauley, and with Rupper before. You know, coming into the EIHL, one of the things we don't have the luxury of is a long camp in the summer. You know, you guys arrive here and you've got a couple of weeks really to implement your systems before you're off. And in this case, it was off to Europe to play against some of the best teams on the continent. So has it made a difference for you in terms of hitting the ground running that you already know those guys, you've shared the ice with them, and you know how they play?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the lines have been mixed up a little bit, and we're kind of playing with different guys and whatnot, but I thought we've come together pretty well so far for how early on it is. And then, like I said, it's still pretty early, and we're still developing that chemistry, and I think it's only going to get better from here.
Have you had a day off yet? Have you seen anywhere around the city, or have you gone traveling or adventuring yet?
We haven't done a whole lot of exploring yet. That's something that we're definitely going to need to look into, me and my roommates here, but definitely checked out the town, and it's awesome.
Yeah, plenty of time to go.
Yeah. Let's get another one from the guys watching on one YouTube. We got one from here from Neil saying, "What does Chad think about the away trips to Scotland on the boat versus previous travel in other leagues?"
It's a good question.
Well, here before Chad answers that, obviously you had the opportunity to go to Switzerland and play in that beautiful the cathedral of hockey. It's called the Davos Rink.
Yeah,
and then you jump on the boat and end up in Fife.
Yeah, there's a bit of a difference there. The Davos Arena was unbelievable. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so that was really cool. And then as for the Fife games, you just got to find a way to get excited and get your feet moving out there.
Are you enjoying the boat?
And then, yeah, the boat, you know what, the boat's not too bad, just because you're able to get up and walk around a little bit, and they've got couches that we can lie on and, you know, take a little snooze, so... It actually is a little bit better than, I think, riding on the bus for 6 hours or whatever. So,
what about the CHL? You know, obviously, you know, in comparison to domestic competition, it was a different speed. These guys are operating at sometimes at a much higher level. How did you find it? Was it tough to get play out there? And was the speed too quick?
Well, in the first game, it was definitely for all of us, it was a bit of an adjustment from what we were used to, because for a lot of us, that's probably some of the fastest games that we've played in. But I think we did really well, and we proved that we can skate with these teams. And like the Czech game, where we were able to take the victory there, that we were really pumped about that. And I think that the whole experience is awesome, and it's going to really help us moving into our league. That experience of playing at a different level. So I think it was probably the best thing that we could have done to prepare us.
I'm fascinated, Chad. Sorry, Paddy. I'm fascinated by the, obviously, playing high quality teams on the Olympic, on the 200 by 100 feet ice pad versus possibly playing the coast in the slightly smaller ice pad, and having like Coventry, Manchester teams in this league where you'll go to that have the much smaller ice pad versus playing at home on the Olympic size rink. Is that something that you've talked about in training yet? Haven't played any of these teams yet, but whenever we go to the smaller ice pad, everything happens that 10% quicker?
Yeah, no, it hasn't been something we've talked about yet. But for a lot of us, you know, we're used to playing on the smaller sheet. So I think that's something that maybe we'll discuss when we go into those games. But definitely, like you said, it's things have to happen probably 10% faster.
Do you set yourself goals when you come in? You know, obviously, you've had two at the weekend, but do you come in here, look at the standards of this league, and you set yourself, actually, this time I want to reach this, I want to hit this many goals, or is it just a game by game, you know, I want to be the best player I am?
I haven't really set any goals yet, but I like to just try and take it game by game, and the main goal is to just try and improve every day, coming to practice and get better, and then improve in every game I play. And then obviously a goal of ours is, of course, to win the championship. So that's the main goal.
And we've one that's come in here from Neve saying, how did you find playing hurling with Oshie McManus? Would you ever go to watch a full game?
Oh, hurling was really cool, actually. Yeah, that was fun. I would love to actually check out a game like that for sure.
How did you find it? Was it it's obviously a lot different, but it's still a hand-eye coordination sort of a game.
Actually, believe it or not, I was able to, that was my second time hurling. When I spent some time at the University of Alberta, there were some Irish fellas that we ended up getting hooked up with in Edmonton, and they did the same thing. They kind of taught us how the game worked and how to do all the proper technique and whatnot. So, but yeah, it's a cool sport.
It always frustrates me how hockey players, they can click their fingers and play golf and see anything that has that kind of, there's a ball and there's a bat of some sort. You guys can just turn your hand to it and it makes me sick. I can barely watch hockey without falling over.
Yeah.
Chad, listen, we really appreciate your time. Thanks to everybody who sent in the questions. Good luck this weekend against the Dundee Stars, and we'll catch up again later in the season.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate
it.
Thanks, buddy.
All the best.
Big thanks to Chad Butcher there for joining us. Right, we're going to crack on. We've obviously got the games this weekend against the Dundee Stars. We're delighted to be joined by the head coach of the Dundee Stars, a man who seems to have, he does have experience in Europe. He played in Germany and Norway. It's Jeff Mason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do him like that. Him.
How you doing, Mason? You okay?
Good, how are you guys?
Yeah, doing really well. How have you been settling into Dundee then?
It's been good. It's been good. You know, we've been obviously busy with the season and things and kids' school and stuff. So haven't done a ton of sightseeing. I will say I've seen the old course and been over there a few times and walked around and done all that. But no, I mean, I think we're all, yeah, I think we're all settling in pretty nicely and, you know, enjoying it. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that the change is good. And you know, for growth to happen, you need some change. So it's been certainly been different after over a decade in Belfast. But no, it's been good.
You see, Coach, I'm not okay with change. I don't deal yeah, with I change. I don't deal with change very well. So I'm delighted for you that you've got a head coach role. You know that for certain. I'm just disappointed that you're not in Belfast anymore. But as far as Dundee goes, and being the main man now, has that been slightly different for you? And does that, you know, does that get the juices flowing for you?
Yeah, I think it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. You know, it's certainly more work, more responsibility. I think you bring the job home a lot with you, a lot more as a head coach. No, it's been, you know, it's certainly in learning a new city, a new way of people doing things and stuff. It's been good, but I've really enjoyed it so far, and you know, certainly looking forward to the coming games and the rest of the season.
Miss, good to see you again. There seems to be a little bit more of an edge to the inter-Scottish games in the league, and I've always kind of enjoyed that. I think some of the Scottish fixtures managed to really get the crowds up for it. You went to Glasgow on Saturday, I think it was, and came out of there with a 3-1 win against the Clan on the road. Do you see that through a different lens now that you're behind the bench with the Dundee Stars? Do you get a measure of how much that means to the fans? And does it charge you up a little bit more to go in there looking for a result?
It certainly is, like, as you said, more of a rivalry, you know, being coming to these rinks and things, you know, with Belfast for so many years, you know, you don't get as many fans. It's not as heated. It's been, you know, you certainly feel the intensity and the passion from both fan bases. You know, when we've gone to Fife, when they've come to us, when we've gone to Glasgow, when they've come to us. So, you know, certainly Saturday night was a great team performance for us, you know, up and down the lineup. I think, it was a really hard fought win. And when I say hard fought, it was a battle, and we came out of it. You know, guys were tired and a bit banged up. So knew that Sunday would be difficult. And we, you know, we played a really good game for 20 minutes. We played a pretty okay game for 40 minutes. We 2-1 going to the third, and then we just kind of, it was our ninth period in 4 days, and we just ran out of steam and things went for us. Now, that said, as I told the guys in the room, nobody cares. Nobody cares that it was our third game in 4th nights. Nobody cares that we've been short. We haven't had a full lineup the entire season due to late arrivals and then injuries straight away. So the guys have been battling, and I give them, you know, complete credit for that, and hopefully we'll start to add more bodies back soon. But at the same time, nobody cares. So
there's the reality of head coaching, right?
you know, so it's we just got to find a way to get through it, and every team faces adversity and faces injury issues. You know, there's lots of teams going through it right now. I know you know, at least 2 or 3 other teams in the league that are probably just as short as us, if not shorter. So you know, hopefully we can get through it and find some consistency and then keep going.
Coach, how do you deal with the expectation versus reality? If you like, you know, in Belfast, we expect to win every game. We expect to win every trophy. And with the best amount of respect in the world, that isn't where Dundee are probably pitching themselves. Yes, as a coach and as players, you will set out to win every game and every period you ever take part in. But the expectation probably is more aligned. getting out of the Challenge Cup group, making the playoffs, or are they more realistic targets?
You know, I think certainly if you would ask around people that those would be. For me, I still am going into every game with the expectation of trying to win it.
Yeah.
I specifically didn't want to put, you know, people ask me a lot, like, the goals for the season. And my goal is for us to be as good of a hockey team as we can be. If we can continue to get better and do those kind of things, then for me, there's a lot of success that's achievable for us. I really like our group. I think we played some really good hockey games early on. And like I said, we haven't had our full group. I really think that there's a lot of potential in this team, but the biggest thing that I've preached from day one and why some teams have success year on year in this league and others don't is consistency. And you have to be able to find consistency, and it can't be one good game, one bad game, one good game, one bad game. We show up, we don't show up. And that, I think, is the toughest thing. And certainly bigger budget clubs, you know, that are, you know, have financially can be a bit more deeper. Consistency is a little bit easier. But we've got to find a way to do that. So that's kind of where I see it.
I can hear Patty. We're not allowed to talk about budgets. We're allowed to talk about mindsets, you know. is that something as well? You know, is that down to you? And you've got to recruit from maybe a slightly different shopping basket than you would if you were perhaps shopping in Belfast. But, you know, that's up to you to find those rough diamonds and polish them up.
Yeah, I think, you know what, for me, the type of player that I would have been looking at and recruiting and trying to get to Belfast is the same types of players, you know, that I did this summer, that I was trying to speak to this summer. You certainly probably get told no more often. You know, I heard no a lot this summer from a lot of people. But, you know, every league has a pecking order, you know, and teams in the Elite League get told no a lot more than teams in other European leagues. And then the teams at the top end of the table in the Elite League get told no less than teams at the bottom. But it's, I think, still try to strive to look for the same characteristics of player and people. And you know, really happy with the group that we got in. And, you know, like I said, if we can get everyone on the ice together, you know, it should, I'm really interested to see what that looks like. But so far what we have had, I've got no complaints for the guys that have been on the ice and what we've been able to do.
Smith, we really appreciate your time. One last question, but before you go, obviously this weekend is two games against the Belfast Giants, home and away for both teams. How are preparations going for that, and what sort of games are you expecting?
You know, I think that, I expect Belfast to be good. I told the guys that when we went in there in the preseason, you know, and I think, obviously the Giants were a week ahead of us. They had more players in. We had a couple guys that were in that had been on the ice 1 or 2 days. So the first game I knew was going to be tough. There was positives to take from it. Obviously there was a lot of defensive lapses, but when you're implementing an entirely new defensive system to pretty much an entirely new team, there's going to be lots of issues. And if you haven't had much time to look at it. So I think the second game against Belfast, I thought we played much better. And since then, we've continued to progress throughout the preseason and the Challenge Cup and kind of, you know, we're taking lots of steps forward. I expect them to be good games. You know, I know that the Giants, you know, battled hard against Fife and was, you know, put a lot of pucks on Shane Owen, similar to the way we had a few nights before. Fortunately for you guys, you were able to find ways to get enough by him to win those games. But, you know, I've watched the Giants quite a bit through the Champions League and other league games. So I expect it to be a tough battle. And I think that, you know, we'll have to be you know, we'll have to be on our game for 60 minutes, 60 plus minutes, you know, and try to play to our identity and limit the mistakes. But, you know, I hope that they're really good games. I hope that we come out on top. I know you guys hope the opposite. But regardless, we can still be friends afterwards. You know, that's we'll see how it goes.
I just want to comment both to you and to Joel. Fair play for the Boston Red Sox merch.
You know what? I had to. I saw some news, Joel, today. Congratulations! I had to wear my Red Sox hat for you.
So. That means the most to me out of anything I've received today, Miss. Thank you very much.
There hasn't been a lot of shining lights for Red Sox fans this year. So you got to
not a lot at all.
Look after each other.
Thank you, Miss. Listen,
thank you very much for joining us. It's good to see you get that opportunity as a head coach in Dundee. We do wish you well, of course not this weekend, but we do wish you well, and maybe come back and chat to us later in the season.
Cheers. Sounds good, fellas.
Thanks, Mace. Good to see you.
Thank you, coach.
Big thanks to Jeff Mason for his time. Really appreciate that. It is, Davey, it is great to see him get his opportunity as a head coach.
I know I said at the start there I'm not happy with change, and obviously I would just wish Jeff Mason was on the bench in the Belfast Giants, because he brought so much to the club that people will never even know about. You know, he'll be a fantastic head coach if this takes him back to North America. Who knows? Hopefully for him, you know, I think that's the direction of the career that he perhaps wants, and who could argue against it? You know, There's probably a mindset change needed within the Dundee Stars fan base, that they need to start thinking that they're more of a top-end team than the bottom-feeding team. And, you know, a new coach coming in with new ideas and some getting some results. And, look, I really hope, you know, Mace does absolutely brilliantly, just not to our detriment. I hope he gets out of the Challenge Cup group along with us. I hope he gets a good draw in the quarterfinals and takes it from there. I hope they qualify for the playoffs. I've got these people you just want to do well, and Jeff Mason's one of these guys that you just want to do well.
100%. I agree with that. He becomes the second former Belfast Giants player to coach the Dundee Stars. Is that right? Jeff Mason? So Jeff Hutchins and Jeff Mason?
Was Hutch the head coach there?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He was player coach, was he?
He's been around all those Scottish teams. Pretty much every team, actually.
It's
a great stat. How many Giants / Jeffs?
Jeff Suez next.
Jeff Suez is going to come in. He's next.
I'd have to think
about Suez to Dundee. You heard it here first. Jolie, love me. Any news? Love me.
Yeah, do you have news? Hold on, I'll see if I can pull it up here. Just by the way, whenever we were talking to Mr. Fitzpatrick, absolutely everything connected to my computer just started going nuts. The light was going on and off. The monitors are flicking on and off. So I've had to put big light on. Sorry about this. And I've had to strip it right down to the laptop. So bear with me while I'm down the screen now. Anyway, the Fife Flyers got this week's Challenge Cup action off to a winning start with a 5-2 scoreline in Dundee on Thursday. On Friday, the Manchester Storm kicked off a fairly miserable weekend for the Nottingham Panthers with a 5-1 win at the Drizzle Dome. The Sheffield Steelers faced the Storm on Saturday, beating them 5-2 up in Yorkshire. The Stars bounced back, as we've just been talking about, with a 3-1 win over the Clan Brayhead. And the Guildford Flames kicked off a miserable weekend for the Cardiff Devils, leaving Wales with 2 points and a 3-1 win. And on Sunday, the Coventry Blaze beat the Devils 4-1 at the Sky Dome. And in the Premier Sports Elite League, the Panthers were beaten 6-1 at home against the Coventry Blaze on Saturday. On Sunday, the Sheffield Steelers, apologies to our past guest there, Sheffield Steelers took it to the Stars, winning 7-1 at the DIA, and Flames returned home for a 2-1 victory over the Glasgow Clan. Paddy, I know you were enjoying this on Twitter. I know that quite a lot of people were enjoying this on Twitter, but we are 3 weeks into the season, and we already have full-scale meltdown and statements, boys. We have statements.
Apologies.
There are statements in the Elite League 3 weeks in. And we've just played some Challenge Cup games on Sunday.
Are you reading the statement?
I've got some excerpts.
Is this Neil Russell's statement?
It's an Omar Pasha statement.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, is this Omar Pasha's statement?
Desperate. Please, if that's libelous, please note that I didn't say it. On Sunday, Nottingham Panthers CEO Omar Pasha, a friend of the show, issued an apology to fans of the Nottingham Panthers for their slow start this season. Week three statements. This has been a very busy and hectic offseason. This isn't the full statement, sorry, so check that on the Panthers website. As a club, we couldn't be happier with where we are off the ice, but we realize we'll be judged by results on the ice. As a new CEO, my main focus is the overall business, but in this industry, the on-ice product, no matter what you do in other departments, is the most important area for the majority of our supporters. It's extremely unfortunate that after only three league games, I have to come out and apologize for the display shown last night, which was truly unacceptable. This has to be on all of us, though. We will rectify the poor start to the season, as this great fan base deserves better. It's been brilliant to see so many of you turn out in the opening games, and the team know that support has to be rewarded. Now, very, very easy for us.
Go on.
Very easy for us to make hay here. And 2 seconds, Jamie, because I know he's dying to go here. He's dying to go. Very easy for us to twist the knife, dig a big hole, laugh at the Panthers. To their credit, if you're friends with any other fans, or if you kind of follow the Panthers online, social media, whatever else, yeah, here he goes. The biggest thing, one of the problems that they had is just lack of communication. They felt that they were just being kind of instructed, and that there wasn't that kind of open channel of communication between club and fans. So to the credit of Omar Pasha, that's fronting up and that's coming out, and that's giving the fans what it is that they have said that they want. So credit to him. But I don't really care if the Panthers are struggling. Love Pash. Don't care about the Panthers.
I'd like to come in. Shove it up. It's you know, again, we caveat that. Love Pash. He fully deserves this opportunity. Absolutely deserves it. But making statements three games in when you've taken a tank, and you're painting yourself into a corner here, because if this doesn't improve, are you going to be making statements every week? Are you going to be making statements that things aren't getting better? Are you going to be apologizing to the fans every time you take a heavy loss if things don't improve? Because you've already set the precedent here. And I do agree with Darren. He does say the majority of supporters don't accept that. The minority supporters do.
They're happy enough.
Obviously, there's a recruitment issue there. They have to deal with it. And there doesn't seem to be enough fire in the belly or chemistry in the Panthers team. Meh. I'm not a big fan of statements. I wasn't a big fan of statements last year when, if you got beat by Fife away, everybody made a statement. Coventry made one, Nottingham made one, Sheffield made one. You know, we got beat by Fife away. That's not acceptable. Poor old Fife taking the scalps, and everybody's having to apologize to their fans. But it's, you know, I'm not a big fan of statements being made when you lose a game. You're going to lose games. That's just the way things is. It's a sport. If you're going to apologize every time you lose a game, then it's just going to end up being ridiculous. David?
On a list of things, as Joe would say, that I love to see, it is a meltdown between Nottingham and their customers. Because
customers?
You know, sorry. That's all I've got to say.
Oh, he's actually said more by saying less this time. I thought we were going to get a five-minute monologue there, but that was actually like a punch to the gut.
Pash is going for transparency. He's going for more. He's brought in the likes of Jono and LA and stuff. They're going for a bit more transparency, the post-game podcast that didn't happen this week, funnily. But it's
only pod when you're winning.
It's that's an improvement for the Nottingham Panthers, and obviously they're saying the right things. You do see from a lot of their fans saying that they're saying the right things, but saying the right things change if you're not going to be putting me in. Saying the right things if you're not going to get the results, and at the minute they're not getting the results, and let's hope that continues.
I think it's situational for me. I agree with you in terms of painting yourself into a corner with statements, but the expectation on that team was absolutely massive after the way it ended last year and how the momentum has been built through the offseason. So I do think, you know, it was received well by the fans, but the problem is then, as you say, if you lose another three or four, are they going to expect more apologies, more whatever else? But I think he put the fire out for now, and I do commend the team being a bit more open with their fans, because I think that's always been the problem. But what do we care?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Great chat, boys. A couple of extra bits. The Premier Sports Elite League will join forces with Warrior Sports Inc. and UK distributor Warrior Hockey UK will be equipping the league as part of a comprehensive cooperation. That's a new term for sponsorship for the upcoming 2022-23 season. A comprehensive cooperation. The US sporting goods manufacturer is also equipping EHL officials with high-quality textile collection. That's shirts. As part of the partnership, Warrior Sports will receive strong online presence. That's adverts, as well as some on-site branding at league events. That's billboards. Additionally, the Warrior logo will be placed on all jerseys and helmets of game officials. That was a very flurry press release, but I noticed
when I was preparing the agenda and stuff, and obviously I would go in and look at the lineups. If you go into the lineups of the Elite League website, when you get down to the referees, they're now the Warrior referees. Nice. They're sponsored. Perfect. The Warrior referees and the Warrior linesmen.
I don't know if that's the extent of the agreement, or sorry, the corporation something or other, or will we see down the line, you know, something like kind of what Rhino used to have, like a bit of a monopoly on the league or whatever. I'm interested to see if anything more comes of that, but I don't know about you guys, but I love the Warrior gear. I absolutely love the Giants gear. I think we have never looked better. It's absolutely class, so we shall see. Last thing is your Premier Sports game of the week this week, and it's tomorrow night. You don't have to wait long. Yeah, the Manchester Storm take on the Guildford Flames in league action tomorrow night, Wednesday the 21st, getting underway in Ultra Game at 7:15 p.m. So join Murph, and I'm not sure who's on with him, but Murph will definitely be there. But yeah, that's an interesting one, Paddy, yeah?
Well, just for optics, Wednesday night in Ultra Game, they'll get the season ticket holders. I hope they get the crowd. I know that the ticket prices dropped to £15 and £5 for a child, so they're obviously wanting to get the crowds in.
Dropped
the 15. Oh yeah. I hope for their sake and for Premier Sports that they do that works and that brings in the crowds, because you know you don't want the optics of a half empty Altrium. And no doubt they've got a passionate support to turn up there, and you know they'll do what they can. But yeah, regards to on the ice, it seems that they're getting a few scalps and a few wins, and Ginner's putting together a semi decent team, and we'll see. I think they might be close to what happened last year, and they might be battling at the bottom end, but they'll certainly take a few wins. But from the optics part of Premier Sports, I hope they get the crowd.
I feel like there's about four things we're in trouble for, but that is your news, Patrick Smith.
That's just an opinion. I think it's an
Are you still banned from there?
Shh, we don't talk about that.
He wasn't banned. He was just made less welcome.
Yeah. No, he was definitely just banned.
It was an email. I was banned.
Pull the emails. Show us the email.
I don't think I have that email anymore, but there's definitely an email. Right. Thanks, Julie. Right, we'll wrap this show up. We'll start to, obviously, we've got two games this weekend that we talked about earlier. At home to Dundee Stars on Saturday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. And then we're away on Sunday, 4 p.m. at the DIA. You get that on Dundee Stars TV. And at home, well, go to the game. And if you can't go to the game, join Simon, who is still, from the back end of last game, is still trying to get the words out. It wasn't shots was the word that he used. It was 50-something else. But I need to get that for the soundboard, actually.
Put that on the list.
But yeah, those two games, Saturday 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena, Sunday at 4 p.m. at the DIA. Any other business, gentlemen?
I don't think so, David.
Nothing from me. Unbelievable.
No. We're done in that case. We're absolutely done. Big thank you to Robert Fitzpatrick, to Jeff Mason, and to Chad Butcher for their time and joining us on this week's jam-packed show. Thanks to everybody who's been interacting with us, be it on Facebook, on Twitter, or on YouTube. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining us live. If you're listening in on podcasts or watching us again on YouTube, please just follow us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, kingdomofthejans.com. And I did a TikTok today.
TikTok.
I did.
Oh, man. Gen Z is lit up.
Paddy did a TikTok from his bathroom. I don't even know what that means.
I did a TikTok. One of those TikToks. I'm like one of the kids now. Debo still a thing? Talking. Debo.
Send me a link.
I think I
put the link on that Twitter, but yeah, I did a TikTok. Who knows what I'll do anymore? That
you
might
have
be
to download one of them their application things.
There's one of them their tickety talk ones. Yeah. So we're all about it.
And him with his LFG mug and all.
I know. Big shout out to Bomber.
Def Bomb. What a boy. I've got a t-shirt for both of you. I'll send it over with some other stuff that you're getting sent.
Did you pick up the bags?
No, I haven't. I was supposed to, wasn't I? I said on this very show, or after this very show. Anyway,
big shout out to Barzo, who took a photograph of the bags and sent them to me and said, oh, look what I can see.
They exist. They exist. But yes, Jeff Bombstad, Jeff Bomb also left you the t-shirt, so I'll make sure you are kept in swag for another season. I'll send them over.
Check out Ross Manley's TikTok. Don't know what that means, but check it out.
And one other final comment there from Mark Reed. Yes, you're absolutely right. Patrick is down with the kids. I've got two.
Call it David. How do you fix for you?
Stop that right there. Listen, gentlemen, like I say, thanks to Robert, Jeff, and the Chad, Mr. McGimsey, Mr. Neil, thank you to you for your time. Congratulations once again, Joel. Make the most of the free chauffeur who won't be drinking for the next 9 months.
Can I just say before we go off air tonight, every single person that's been like, where's Danny tonight? What's Danny doing? Why is Danny driving tonight? Every single person who hit me with that over the last 3 months, you can line up because you're all getting scalped. I have been every single time like, managed to hold on to it. Feels like a relief to get rid of it. But everybody who has been like, is Danny not here tonight? You're all getting it. Just wait. Thanks. Brilliant. What I mean is thank you.
And we're going to close out this show with the video that was shown of Jim Gillespie, but the one done by Neil Whiteside, another fantastic video in tribute to him that was done when the banner was raised. So, like I say, this weekend, Saturday at home, the Dundee Stars and the Challenge Cup, get down to the SSE Arena or watch on Jans TV. Away 4 p.m. on Sunday at the DIA. Or watch it on Stars TV. Get us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. You can get us on TikTok and all that sort of stuff. We'll catch you here. Well, sorry, wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
A new benefactor emerged last year, and he's the man who's paying off the creditors.
Hopefully I'm not throwing good money after bad, but I don't want to lose any more money. I would like to think that at the end of this season we'll show that the Belfast Giants are a viable business as well as a great event to go and see. Thank you.